as you all know, the Catskill Mountains are just about over that way, and have for generations been considered an enchanted place, as they still are today. Well, at the base of these mountains, if you were to get out on Route 23A, just past 32, in the area there between what is now Catskill and what is now Palinville, well, somewhere in there, there was a small village in colonial times. And in that village lived Rip Van Winkle. Well, the story of Rip Van Winkle was found among the papers of the late Dietrich Knickerbocker, who was a fictitious author invented by Geoffrey Crayon, an old Dutch gentleman. He himself was a fictitious author created by Washington Irving, who, as we now know, is responsible for our knowing the story of Rip Van Winkle. Gather around and all ye shall hear how Rip Van Winkle fell asleep for 20 years. Well, of course, I'm not giving away the story by saying that Rip Van Winkle fell asleep for 20 years. Everybody knows that. In fact, some people think that Rip Van Winkle was asleep for 100 years, or even 200 years. But it was 20 years. But that's no small potatoes. A lot can happen in the span of a generation. Enough to leave you bewildered if you were to go away and to come back. Why, just on my way here today, I met a woman across the street who said that she hadn't been to this spot in 25 years, and her mind was blown to see this place again. I'm sure little of it has changed, though everything around it must have changed some. Well, Rip Van Winkle, he was an affable, an easygoing, good-natured young man, and was much beloved in the community. Moreover, he was an obedient and henpecked husband. It's perhaps owing to this meekness of disposition that he was so universally beloved in the village. But it is said that obsequious and conciliating men abroad are often under the strict discipline of shrews at home, which in many ways are considered a tolerable blessing. But if so, Rip Van Winkle was thrice blessed. Village children would shout with joy when he approached. He assisted in their games, made their playthings, taught them to fly kites and to shoot marbles. They would climb on his back and hang from his coattails. And never a dog from the neighborhood would bark at him. He was very popular with the young ladies of the village as well. He would help them in all sorts of household chores and odd jobs that their husbands would not do for them. He was not afraid of helping to build stone walls or husk Indian corn, but he would attend to anyone else's business except his own. His farm was neglected, the fences falling down, the corn was ragged, the cow would get out amongst the cabbages, and his children were as wild and ragged as if they had belonged to no one. And his son, Rip, little urchin that he was, showed promise of inheriting his father's traits. Dame Van Winkle would scold him for his carelessness, his idleness, his thoughtlessness, and for letting his family go to ruin. To escape these scoldings and to find some peace of quiet, Rip would go to the local inn, where there was a sort of club of sages and philosophers and other idle persons of the village. Nicholas Vedder was the landlord of the inn and the leader of this group. When his opinion was wanted, all they had to do was watch the way he smoked his pipe. He would say nothing. But if something displeased him, he would draw on his pipe and emit short, frequent, angry bursts of smoke. But if something pleased him, he would draw on his pipe and spin out a long, tranquil cloud. He would sit in the shade of the tree, and as the sun moved, he would sit from his spot on the bench and shift over to wherever else there was shade under the tree. And by this fashion, the villagers could tell what time it was, for he was as accurate as any sundial. Until Dame Van Winkle would show up and scold Nicholas Vedder, too, for assisting her husband in his idleness. So Rip and his dog left the inn, passed the sign where there was a portrait of King George III hanging from the front of the inn, and walked up the mountain into the woods with his dog Wolf. Even the dog Wolf felt persecuted by Dame Van Winkle, who regarded him as his companion in idleness. Well, Rip and his dog Wolf finally reached the top of the mountain and sat down on a moss-covered precipice from which he could see and survey all of the Hudson Valley. He could see the future site of the bridge that was to bear his name in the 1930s. He could see the future site of the Catskill Game Farm, which closed a few years ago, and the future site of the Ace of Burgers, which closed its doors forever just this past February. And the spot he sat on was itself the future site of the Rip Van Winkle Inn, which was built in the 1860s and frequented by people going up the long mountain road to go to the Catskill Mountain House. But when the Otis Elevator Company built a cog railway up the mountain, both the road and the inn fell into disrepair, and the inn burned to the ground in 1918. Suddenly, Rip heard a voice, and he looked around to see who was calling him and heard, "Rip Van Winkle! Rip Van Winkle!" But when he looked to see who it was, there was only a crow circling overhead. Then he heard it again. "Rip Van Winkle!
Winkle, Winkle!
Rip Van Winkle!
Winkle, Winkle!"
Then he saw a stout, squarely built man, dressed in antique Dutch garb, hauling a wooden keg of liquor up the mountain. He silently signaled Rip to join him in carrying his burden, and Rip complied. They both walked up the gully until they came to a clearing where there were jagged precipices with gnarled trees with their roots hanging off the edge of the cliff, their branches poking into the sky. There was an assembly of men also dressed like this strange man, in old-fashioned Dutch clothes, wearing several pairs of breeches and playing at ninepins. And when they would throw the ball, Rip thought he heard a sound like rolling thunder. They began to drink from this keg, and very gravely they signaled Rip to join them. He took a draught, and then another, and another, until he began to swim and feel so addled that he fell into a deep sleep. When Rip awoke, it was morning, and he saw that he had been asleep all night. "Oh, I am going to catch hell from Dame Van Winkle when I return," he thought. He looked for his dog, but his dog was gone. And he looked for his gun, and his gun was propped up there, all rusted, and the stock all worm-eaten. At first he thought those men were playing a trick on him and stole his dog and gun. But he could find no one on the mountain, and so he descended. But the gully that he and his companion had walked up the mountain on was now a ripping mountain stream, gurgling, burbling. He called for his dog. "Wolf!" he cried. But the only answer he got was from a crow on a lonely branch, as though it were scoffing at him. When he reached the base of the mountain, he saw some people he had never seen before. "That's strange," he thought. "I thought I knew everyone in these parts." They looked at him quizzically. They stared at him. They scratched their chins. And this made Rip scratch his own chin. And he discovered that his beard had grown a foot long. When he reached the village, he saw that it was larger and had grown more populous. There were new houses he had never seen, and his old haunts had disappeared. He went to his house. His house was deserted and covered with cobwebs, the windows broken, a desolate place. There was a half-starved dog that looked like Wolf that was skulking around, but when Rip called him by name, the dog growled at him and skulked away. He went to the inn, and there was the picture of King George hanging down. But it had been repainted so that his red coat was changed to blue, and instead of a scepter, there was a sword, and underneath, an inscription saying, "General Washington." And where the shady tree had stood, there was a naked pole with something that looked like a red nightcap on the top of it, with some stars and some stripes. Instead of Nicholas Vedder, there was a bilious young man there with tracts sticking out of his pocket, making vehement harangues about Congress, about the spirit of 76, about citizens' rights. He saw Rip Van Winkle and came up to him and said, "Are you a Federalist or a Democrat?" Rip Van Winkle said, "I am just a harmless man and a subject of our King George III, to which the young man said, "A Tory, a Tory, a spy, a refugee. Off with him, away from him, a loyalist Tory enemy." "Who are you, and what are you doing here? Who are you to see?" said the bilious young man. "I just came here to see some of my old friends who would hang around at the inn," said Rip. "What are their names?" demanded the man. Rip said, "Nicholas Vedder." "Nicholas Vedder? Why, he's been dead and gone these past 18 years. Rip asked the names of some of his other friends, and he was told, "Well, they are gone these years too, killed in the wars. And one of them, why, now he is a member of the Congress." All of this talk of wars, of Congress, of citizens' rights, the spirit of 76, these things had no meaning to Rip Van Winkle, until he asked, "Does anyone here know Rip Van Winkle?" "Oh, Rip Van Winkle, of course," they said. "Why, that's him standing over there, against that tree." And Rip looked and saw a young man in his 20s, who is as equally ragged as himself. "Well, if that's Rip Van Winkle," he asked, "then who am I? I don't know who I am. If that's him, then I'm not me." "Oh, I'm a me, all everything has changed. I am not myself, oh, I don't know. know who I am or what's my name. Rip was bewildered. Then a young woman came up to see who the strange man was. She carried a chubby child who was crying at the sight of this grizzled old man. "Hush, Rip," she said. "Hush, Rip. He won't harm you." And the name and the sound of her voice stirred a recollection in him. "What is your name?" he asked the young woman. "My name is Judith," she said. "And what was your father's name?" "Rip Van Winkle," she said. "But he has been away for a long time. We haven't seen him in 20 years. "What of your mother?" "Oh, well, my mother died a couple of years ago. She burst a blood vessel while scolding a New England peddler." Then Rip understood. He said, "I am your father. I was once young Rip Van Winkle. Now old Rip Van Winkle. I am your father, and Rip over there, he is my son." "Sure enough," said one of the old-timers from the village, "that's Rip Van Winkle. My goodness, where have you been these long 20 years? Rip told them the whole story, and how he had been asleep, and how he must have been enchanted. But people thought him out of his wits. Some did not believe him, but others did. In any event, he was welcomed back into the village, and he spent many, many hours sitting in front of the inn, listening to people talk of politics. But politics made no impression on Rip's heart. He was only glad to be free of the one form of despotism he knew, petticoat government. He cast his eyes upwards in a gesture of what could be considered either resignation to his fate or his deliverance. Yes, a lot can happen in 20 years, and perhaps in 20 years' time people will look upon you and I as being backward, old-fashioned, incompetent, sexist, and generally uncouth.
Gather, O ye, and all children hear how Rip Van Winkle fell asleep for 20 years.